Two readings this morning. The first is Exodus 20, verse 14, which can be found on page 73, and then Matthew 12, verses 38 to 42. You shall not commit adultery. And now turning to Matthew on page 13 of the New Testament. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, for 3 days and 3 nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. The people of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah, and see, something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And see, something greater than Solomon is here." This is the word of the God.
Let's pray, shall we? Good morning. Lord God, we thank you that as we come to you this morning, we know that you are a God of love and grace who is faithful to us in all things. So, Lord, I pray that as we explore this topic this morning, that we will know that love and that grace, as well as your holiness. Amen. Let me start with a story. In fact, let me start with the story. It begins in the beginning when God created a perfect world with two perfect people in a perfect garden, in a perfect loving and trusting and faithful relationship. The perfect people made a poor decision. They rebelled against God by eating the one and the only fruit that they were not allowed to eat. They were unfaithful. God's holiness meant that they had to go from that perfect place. They simply could not stay. But God's love for them, God's faithfulness to them, meant God clothed them and watched over them in the imperfect and fallen world in which they were cast, the world outside the garden. God was faithful. God was there. Adam and Eve, these two perfect, now imperfect people, their descendants were unfaithful to God's ways. It began with their boys and got worse from there. People turned against God, and God, sadly, regretted creating humanity. God decided to destroy the creation he had made, but there was one righteous family, and God was faithful to them. Noah and his family started again, but it wasn't long before humankind became unfaithful again. And so continued this journey of God's constant loving faithfulness and humanity's serial adultery. God called Abraham and Sarah to be parents of a nation who would show the world what God was like through their faithfulness to God. Israel was born, first Isaac, then Jacob, who had 12 sons. God was faithful in and through a famine and led them to Egypt through Joseph, who was faithful mostly. God faithfully led his people from Egypt to escape slavery and take possession of the land he had faithfully promised. God fought for them, gave them commandments by which to live faithfully, but they were an adulterous people, unfaithful. seeking after other gods, turning their back on God. God was faithful through kings and prophets. Sometimes the people returned to their faithful God, but then turned away again, over and over. Prophets and kings came and went. Israel split into two unfaithful kingdoms. Both were conquered into exile. God remained faithful to his adulterous people. He returned, brought home to their promised land, where once again they turned from God and were unfaithful. So God amazingly, miraculously came in Jesus to show his love and faithfulness, to give glimpses of the riches of his kingdom, promised in and through those who followed the Lord Jesus. God's Son was faithful to his Father, even to death. And God was faithful and raised Jesus, who ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit, which caused the birth of a new people, the church. One day, God promises to create new heaven and a new earth and judge the world for our unfaithfulness. But those who are in Christ will be judged faithful through Christ. The big story in which we are sometimes faithful, but God is always faithful. It is God's perfect character to be faithful. God is faithful. And it is in that context that we hear the words from Exodus 20 this morning, "You shall not commit adultery." To live faithfully as a saved people in the image of God, you shall not commit adultery. It's about way more than marriage, but it is definitely about marriage. So let's start wide and then focus in on marriage a little later. And starting in Matthew 12, which is the second reading we heard this morning, where Jesus judges those looking for a sign, and he calls them an evil and adulterous generation. These are harsh words. And these words could fit our generation too, for we are the you switch generation. Do you switch? I switch. You switch? Every year when my energy contract is up for renewal, I visit the you switch website, and a couple of others as well, others are available, to see how I can reduce my costs and get the best deal. How many of the rest of you do that? If you don't, you're absolutely crazy not to. That's what good consumers do, switch. It's bad to be faithful to our suppliers because it costs us. That's okay for energy contracts, but not for relationships with one another. That's okay for our car insurance, but not for our relationship with God. Our friends, our spouses, our families are not there purely to deliver for us. And God is not our spiritual supplier. In Jesus' words, it is adulterous to switch some of our allegiance to Buddhism or yoga or materialism or humanism to give me what I need. As we heard back in week two of this series, God is a jealous God, jealous for our souls and our spirits. We are called to be faithful to God. God calls us to be faithful to the one true God, who is, by his nature, faithful. As God's people, his church, let us seek to be faithful to God in everything. Not you switch our faith, not consume, but worship and serve and love with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In prayer, in commitments, in discipleship, in following, in seeking truth in the scripture, in loving one another, let's be faithful to God who is so utterly faithful to us, and so utterly holy. And part of that demonstration, that living in faithfulness, is how we live in and support marriage, which brings us back. You shall not commit adultery. And I want to encourage those of us in here who are not married to not switch off at this point, because this is about all of us. Adultery is very serious. It affects many people. If not in your own marriage, then perhaps those you know, maybe even in your close family. It has affected my wider family. We need to acknowledge that this is a difficult issue to think about and to stand up here and preach about, which is why I've tried to put it in the wider context of God's love and faithfulness. And let me say two things at this point, which I will probably say again before the end. God is a faithful God of forgiveness and new starts. If this is an issue that has affected us or our friends or our family, then forgiveness and new starts are possible. Healing is possible in Christ. This is not unforgivable. And the second thing is that God is holy. And to follow God means to live as God intended with the help of God's Spirit in us. That is seen in how we treat each other as church community, as friends, as families, as husband and wife. And there is no excuse for adultery. Do not commit adultery means do not commit adultery. It doesn't mean, well, everyone in society is doing it these days. It doesn't mean in today's culture it's not possible to be faithful to one person for your whole life. Do not commit adultery means do not commit adultery. So if we are, we need to stop. What is our understanding of adultery in the Bible? And why is it so serious? Adultery is disloyalty in a marriage relationship. It's when the vows that we make before God between a man and a woman in marriage are broken. It's when, in biblical times, when the promises of betrothal of marriage were broken. Why is it so serious a sin? Because the Bible teaches that the gift of marriage is important. It is given by God as the foundation of family and community life. It is a covenant relationship within which sexual intimacy is to be expressed between man and woman, what the marriage service delightfully calls the delight and tenderness of sexual union. This powerful act brings man and woman together to become one. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 to 6, Jesus affirms this. Have you not read that the one who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And Jesus goes on, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And throughout the Bible, marriage between a man and a woman is also used as a metaphor for the relationship of humanity and God. It speaks powerfully of God's character and faithfulness. Marriage between man and woman is important, central to the Bible's message, central to the gospel. But that does not mean that those who are not married are in any sense second class. Jesus himself was not married. Neither was Paul. There are many strong covenant friendships in Scripture. We together, male and female, single and married, old and young, are called to reflect God's character, including God's characteristic of faithfulness. So all our relationships are to be faithful, but in marriage that is particularly so, because of the gift of sexual union that takes place within it. And of course, we recognize that we are not perfect people. And sadly, sometimes that leads to marriage breakdown and all the consequences that that brings for family, for children, and for those who love us. And God is faithful to those in those difficult situations, those difficult times when we seek him. We are called to be faithful as God is faithful. One more point about adultery. Most of the time, we think of it as a physical sin, which indeed is part of it, where we have an intimate physical relationship with someone other than our spouse. But Jesus says it is wider than that. In Matthew 5:27, Jesus teaches that when we look at a woman or a man with lust, we have committed adultery with them in our hearts. And this is particularly challenging for us today, where there are easily accessible images on smartphones, where television and films are increasingly explicit, where some men and women, I would argue, dress to express their sexuality in ways that perhaps weren't the case 30 years ago. So how can we be faithful to God as God is faithful and not commit adultery, if adultery includes attitudes of the heart? Perhaps being careful what we view and seek online and on television. Perhaps simply being careful to remember that the people we see are just that, people. Wives and daughters and sisters or brothers and husbands and sons. And sometimes it might help to thank God for the beauty of his creation. Perhaps even pray for the person. For some of us, it might help to have a trusted friend we can confess thoughts to and ask them to pray for us. How does Jesus' teaching on adultery as a sin in the heart, how does the Lord's teaching in Scripture on not committing adultery challenge us this morning? If we're committing adultery, either in relationship or through those thoughts, then we need to stop, to confess, to repent, to turn back to God, to talk to someone in the community you trust, or one of the staff team if you'd like to. I want to close with two stories, one recent and one about Jesus. A man that I knew over the last 20 years or so committed adultery through a few secret steps, or in his case, clicks. He turned to the internet around issues in his marriage rather than speaking to his wife or to a trusted friend. He got into looking at images he shouldn't look at, and over a period of months, another mouse click led him to a dating site. Another click led him to arrange to meet someone on a hookup, on a business trip, which led to an adulterous affair, which destroyed his marriage and broke his relationships with his sons. As Jesus says, it starts in the heart. And if we are in any place on that journey, then can I encourage us to seek help, forgiveness, and reconciliation? To talk, to pray, to ask for strength, to turn around. And that assumes that this church community of which we're all part needs to be a secure, safe place for that kind of repentance and forgiveness. A community that reflects God, a community of faithfulness, of grace, not judgment. A community that seeks after and demonstrates holiness. A community that has Jesus at the center. Story 2. Once a woman who had been caught in adultery was brought to Jesus by the religious leaders. We don't have time to talk about why the man wasn't brought as he should have been as well, but anyway, let's just accept that the woman was brought. They asked Jesus whether she should be stoned as the law suggested. Jesus bent down and he wrote in the dust. We don't know what he wrote. I suspect it might have been his holiness and compassion arguing within him as he sought his father's wisdom. Eventually he said, "Whichever of you is without sin, throw the first stone." And one by one, as we know, if we know the story, they slunk off. "Did they condemn you?" Jesus asked the woman. "No," she says. "Neither do I condemn you, but don't sin anymore," says Jesus. Three things about this story. Sexual sin can bring out the worst in us who are bystanders in the church. And we need always to be really careful of our own motives if we ever criticize anyone in this area. We need to be that community of grace and forgiveness. Secondly, Jesus could have thrown that first stone. He was without sin, but he does not throw. Instead, he offers her mercy and a new start. And thirdly, the bit that's often missed in this story, Jesus calls her to repentance and a changed life. That's what he does for all of us today in this area of sexual sin, whether it's adultery or temptation or things in the heart. "You shall not commit adultery" speaks of God's faithfulness to us and of his call for us to be faithful that we might reflect his character. Let us pray together. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you because you are faithful to us. And we pray that by your Spirit, you will help us and strengthen us to be faithful to you, not to be a you-switch generation when it comes to you. And Lord, we are sorry for those times when we have been unfaithful to you, when we have been unfaithful to one another, where we have been unfaithful in our marriages, whether that's in the heart or whether it's physically. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness and to know your grace and mercy and love and that new start. Lord, we ask that by your Spirit, even now, if your Spirit's convicted us of something this morning, we would, that same Spirit, your Spirit, would convict us and affirm your love for us and help us to turn and to seek you. Lord, fill us with your love and inspire us and encourage us and enable us by your Spirit to live holy lives that reflect who you are. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer and